Chapter 6, Further Invasion of Canaan and Decline of Egypt. We now come in the history of ancient Egypt to the period of what are called the Amarna letters. These are a collection of state letters written to Pharaoh Akhenaten and stored by him in the new capital city which he built for the worship of his new god Aten, as related in the previous chapter. The discovery of these letters in the ruins of his capital at Tel El Amarna is a most interesting phase in the archaeology of Egypt. During the digging operations, a party of natives discovered some old wooden chests containing a large number of clay tablets inscribed with writings in the Babylonian cuneiform. Not knowing what they were, the natives at first began to sell them privately, and finding that they were eagerly bought up by those who knew their value, they conceived the idea of increasing their gain by breaking up the tablets and selling the pieces. Happily, however, this destruction of the valuable writings was discovered in time to prevent these wonderful historical records from being wholly ruined. Upon being deciphered, the inscribed tablets proved to be a collection of state letters written to Pharaoh Akhenaten and his predecessor by some of the rival kings of Babylon, but mostly from the rulers whom the pharaohs had set up in the strongholds which they had captured in Canaan and Syria. From these letters, the declining hold of Egypt upon Canaan is wonderfully corroborated by the appeals which were continually made to Pharaoh for help against the invasion of foreign tribes. Who then were these invaders of whom the Canaanite chiefs complained, and to repulse whom they sent again and again for assistance? Could it be that these were the Israelites? And if so, do not these letters, thus lastingly engraven and preserved to us, afford further evidence of the truth of the scriptures? The following facts which emerge from these Amarna letters seem to support this view. In the first place, the period of the letters agrees with the time at least of the later stages of the Israelitish conquest. Akhenaten's reign appears to follow after the death of Joshua, at which time there was still much to be done by way of subduing the land of Canaan, as it is recorded in the opening words of Judges. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" It may well be possible then that the attackers complained of in the letters are the 12 tribes of Israel in their struggles to obtain the portions of land allotted to them by Joshua. Again, several of the Canaanite strongholds from which the letters were written correspond with those which held out against the invading Israelites. From the scripture records, it is clear that the Canaanites were not entirely subdued, but here and there retained their hold and continued to dwell among the children of Israel. Again and again, the same fact is recorded for the several tribes, and we know that this was intended to be typical of the remainders of indwelling sin in spiritual Israel. Thus, of Judah it is said, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day." Joshua 15, verse 63. And so with the tribe of Ephraim at Gezer, Joshua 16, verse 10. Manasseh at Beth Shean, Megiddo, and other cities, Judges 1, verse 27. Asher at Akko and Zidon, Judges 1, verse 31, and so on. Now, it is from these very cities, Jebusai or Jerusalem, Gezer, Megiddo, Akko, and Zidon, amongst others, that the Canaanite rulers wrote to Pharaoh for help, as recorded in many of the letters. Thus, from Gezer comes the message, "Let my lord, the king, the son of heaven, care for his land, for the Habaru are very powerful against us." And again, from Jerusalem comes the distressing complaint, "Shall we then let Jerusalem fall? Let the king know that there is no garrison with me. The whole land of the king is going in revolt." The ruler of Megiddo also writes, "Verily, I guard Megiddo, the city of the king, my lord, day and night. Mighty is the enmity of the people, of the sagaz in the land. Therefore, let the king, my lord, have regard to his land." These same strongholds are again mentioned in Solomon's time, when the Canaanites were put under tribute to Israel. We find him building up the walls of Jerusalem, Megiddo, and Gezer. Also, of the last mentioned city, it is said that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burnt it with fire and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city and given it for a present unto his daughter. Solomon's wife, 1 Kings 9, verses 15 and 16. Invading the land, doubtless with the permission of Solomon, with whom he was now in affinity, the king of Egypt reinstates his old supremacy at Gezer. The third fact to be noted from the letters, which goes to show that they refer to the invasion of Israel, is that the invaders are frequently referred to in the letters as the Habaru, a name which is equivalent with Hebrew, the name given to Abraham and his sons, probably owing to their descent from Eber. See Genesis 14, verse 13, 40, verse 15, 43, verse 32, and Exodus 2, verse 6. Take the following extracts from some of the letters. "Shall the royal cities fall a prey to the Habaru?" Again, "Canst thou not rescue me from the hand of Abd Asherah? All the Habaru are on his side." Also in another letter, "Behold, now Namyaza hath delivered up to the Habaru all the king's cities in the land of Kadesh and in Ub. But I will march forth, and if thy gods and thy son go before me, I will restore these places from the Habaru to the king, that I may show myself subject to him. I will drive out these Habaru, and my lord the king shall rejoice in his servant Itakamah." After Akhenaten and a succeeding pharaoh of short reign, there followed Tutankhamen, a younger brother, whose name has become notorious through the remarkable discovery of his tomb some years ago, with its wonderful contents preserved intact. In the reign of this boy pharaoh, the worship of the Egyptians was returned to its old god Amen, as is reflected in the king's altered name, and the throne was again seated in Thebes. Two more reigns then bring us down to the 19th dynasty, the most notable pharaoh of which was Ramses II, who reigned 67 years and led his armies into Syria in several battles with the Hittites. He was also responsible for a great deal of building in Egypt, including some enormous temples and many obelisks and colossal statues of himself, the ruins of which are still in existence. During the reign of his successor named Merimtah, Egypt began to be attacked from the Mediterranean Sea by the peoples of the Aegean Islands, which seemed to be identifiable with the Philistines, who caused so much trouble to the Israelites during the latter times of the Judges and particularly of Samson, the different type of dress and of weapons used by these new attackers are to be seen on the sculptures of the Egyptians of those days. For example, in the temple of Ramses III. However, Merimta gained a victory over these invaders from the sea and has recorded his triumph on the back of a granite pillar of Amenhotep III at Thebes, and it is very interesting to note that mention is made by him of the Israelites as being among the peoples conquered in Palestine. This inscription was discovered by Sir Flanders Petrie, as he relates in his 70 Years in Archaeology. The great discovery was the large triumphal inscription of Merimta, naming the Israelites. The site of Merimta's temple was disastrously dull. There were worn bits of soft sandstone, scraps looted from the temple of Amenhotep III, crumbling sandstone sphinxes laid in pairs in holes to support columns. I was tempted to leave it as fruitless. Then came the half-length figure of Merimta, a fine portrait work, and in the last corner to be cleared, and there lay a black granite stela, over 10 feet high and 5 wide, on it a long inscription of Amenhotep III, which had been mostly erased by Akhenaten and then piously re-engraven by Seti I. On looking beneath it, there was the inscription of Merimta, page 160. During the reign of Ramses III, Egypt was again the subject of attacks from the sea by the Philistines and others, but the Egyptian fleet, which by this time was a force to reckon with, was victorious together with the land armies on the Mediterranean shores. The Philistines, however, began now to establish themselves on the coastal plains of southern Palestine, and soon their presence was felt by the Israelites during the periods of Samson and other later judges, as also in the reign of Saul. The 21st dynasty was brought to an end by the reign of Pharaoh Sheshenq, who was of Libyan extraction and is the Shishak mentioned in the Bible, first as giving umbrage to Jeroboam when he fled from Solomon, 1 Kings 11 verse 40, and then as attacking Jerusalem in the 5th year of Rehoboam when he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and all the shields of gold which Solomon had made, 1 Kings 14 verses 25 and 26. Having sheltered Jeroboam during the latter part of Solomon's reign, Sheshenq continues to manifest his friendliness by attacking Jeroboam's rival. This episode in the history of Israel receives remarkable confirmation from the records of Sheshenq in the Temple of Karnak, which include a list of 133 towns conquered by him in Judah, several Bible names being mentioned. For example, Rabbath, Joshua 19, verse 20, Taanach, Joshua 12, verse 21, Shunem, Joshua 19, verse 18, Rehob, Joshua 19, verse 28, Haphraim, Joshua 19, verse 19, Adoraim, 2 Chronicles 11, verse 9, Maanaim, Joshua 21, verse 38, Gibeon, Joshua 9, verse 3, Bethoron, Joshua 10, verse 10, Kedemoth, Joshua 13, verse 18, Ajalon, Joshua 10, verse 12, and Megiddo, Joshua 12, verse 21. Jerusalem may be intended by the name Jehudan Melech, see Ancient History of the East, by Lenormant and Chevalier. A later pharaoh of this dynasty joined battle with Shalmaneser III, king of Assyria, and was defeated as recorded in the annals of the latter, and about this time the kingdom of Egypt again became divided into two parts. The civil wars which then took place between the rival thrones may well be the fulfillment of the word spoken by Isaiah. I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. Chapter 19, verse 2. A third ruling power then sprang up, owing to the Ethiopian conquests in Egypt, and one of these Ethiopian rulers was called Shabaka, who is So, king of Egypt, 2 Kings 17, verse 4, to whom Hoshea sent messengers for help against Shalmaneser V, another of the Assyrian monarchs. Shabaka's successor was murdered by the former's nephew, called Taharqa, who is the Terhaka mentioned in 2 Kings 19, verse 9, as king of Ethiopia and as rendering assistance to Hezekiah against Sennacherib. After the miraculous defeat of Sennacherib and his subsequent murder in the house of his god, his son, Esarhaddon, continued to extend the rapidly growing Assyrian empire by the invasion of Egypt itself, which commenced the fulfillment of another prophecy by Isaiah. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord. Chapter 19, verse 4. But in the time, the Assyrian power declined, and Pharaoh Necho advanced as far as the Euphrates in battle with the king of Assyria and took Carchemish. Necho then attacked Judah, which led to the death of Josiah at the Battle of Megiddo. The last Egyptian ruler mentioned in the Bible is Pharaoh Hophra, who sought to help Zedekiah against Nebuchadnezzar, but in vain. Jeremiah 44, verses 29 and 30. This completes the record of Egyptian history mentioned in the scriptures, and it will be seen that the records of the Egyptians themselves serve to confirm and establish the accuracy of the Bible history.